Welcome to this podcast series for the book, Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco, written by author Bob Hennigy, published and printed by ZG Serve, LLC, copyright Deliberate Injustice, LLC. This podcast was produced by Connie Nesberry International, LLC. For more information, visit www.deliberateinjusticethebook.com. This is your moderator, Connie Nesberry, and this podcast is Made at Home, featuring Ken Wynemco, exoneree. Ken, the judge had declared that you were a free man. Were you able to walk right out of the courtroom?
Well, I assumed that was going to happen. Gail had told me that she, you know, I was in my county jail uniform, okay? Mm-hmm. Gail had bought me all brand new clothes to wear, you know, to wear. I didn't have any clothes, you know. I had nothing to wear. The stuff that I had when I was in prison, as I explained, I gave all that away. I lost my home and everything that was in it during the 10 years that I was in. I had nothing, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So I was, I thought that I would be released in no more than a half hour. I knew it would take some time for me to be processed out.
Yeah.
But what had happened, again, not surprisingly, knowing Macomb County, they took me back to the county jail, and they put me in a bullpen, okay? And I'm not a prejudiced person. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm not a prejudiced person. They put me in the bullpen with about 15, 16 black guys, okay? Young black guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what the hell is going on, you know? Because, again, Connie, at this point, I don't know. I still don't trust the cops,
right.
You know.
You don't know if they wanted to still get beat up.
Yeah, and, you know, they knew that my attorneys just made them look like assholes, like the assholes that they are, mm-hmm. You know, or the criminals that they were. So I'm sitting there, time's going by, and these, all the guys, it's like they're getting louder and louder and looking at me, and I'm thinking, then I'm getting nervous. So in this bullpen, Connie, they have a payphone, which all jails do, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to make a collect call. So I'm, and this the phone, it's not like a regular phone that you hold. You have to, one of those old-time phones, you have to, talk into a speaker, mm-hmm. And then they have a hole where you have to put your ear up to listen. So I'm trying to call Gail's office to find out what's going on. And I talked to her secretary, Joan. She said, Kenny, where are you at? I said, where's Gail at? So I tell her what's going on. Can you get a hold of Gail somehow? Because I'm starting to get scared. So at this point, now I'm waiting, Connie, about an hour and a half. So the undersheriff comes to get me. He says, come on, Wynemco, let's go. You got to get out of here right now. So he takes me out of the bullpen and walks me down to a changing area. Gail had the clothes that she bought me. It was in a paper bag just waiting for me, okay? And the undersheriff said, get dressed right away as quick as you can. You got to get out of here. So I put my clothes on, and I walk out of this changing room, and Gail is there standing there waiting for me. I said, and I could tell she was pissed. You know, I said, Gail, what took so long? She said, I don't want to talk about it right now, Kenny. I said, what happened? You know, I said, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what happened. So what had transpired, Connie, this is 2003 I'm talking about now, okay? I got divorced in 1980. My ex-wife had filed a charge against me for back child support during the time that I was in prison. She's married to an attorney here in Michigan. So when Gail told me that, I said, you got to be kidding me. And that was totally bogus, because what Denise did, she had left town years ago and took my son with him without my permission. That was against a court order, okay? So she was actually in contempt of court. All the child support payments were stopped. Okay, I didn't owe a penny, and which later came was proven that day. Yeah. Okay, so Denise files this claim in Wayne County Circuit Court that I owe all this back money, and come to find out, the reason she did that was because she's assuming that I'm going to get a lot of money for being wrongfully imprisoned. Okay, and she admitted that to me herself right after I got home. So that was the holdup. When they went through the process of clearing me out, this warrant shows up for my arrest in Wayne County. Carl found out about it. He said, forget about it. He found out, then he called there, and Carl found out what happened, okay? So as I said, that was about an hour and a half later, okay? So we're walking down. I remember we were walking down this hallway going to the lobby of the Macomb County Jail, and this undersheriff says, Mr. Onimko, I can take you out the back door here so nobody will see you when you walk out. I said, well, why do you want me to go out the back door? I'm still leery about everything, okay? He said, well, there's so many people from the press standing out by the front door. You know, you don't have to put up with that if you want to. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm walking right through that front door.
Good for you.
So, and that's what I did. I can remember again. And there were so many reporters, not only local reporters, but from around the country. C-SPAN, I remember CNN being there. But that's the first time I got to meet my now dear friend Bill Proctor from Channel 7 News. He was the first reporter to stick a microphone in front of my face. And that's how, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
Do you remember what he asked you?
How you doing? How you feeling? How does it feel to be free? And I said, I think the first thing I said was, I'm just so thankful to God for answering my prayers. And then, there were questions coming, you know.
So then where did you go? Did you go to mom's house or
friend's house? No, my mom, ironically, my brothers would not let my mom be there that day. They didn't think that she could handle it. That's another issue I've dealt with, okay? Remember, we went back to my friend Greg and Terry's cars. They were having a welcome home party for me at their house. As a matter of fact, Bill Proctor walked me right over to the car, and, we invited him over, and he gave me a card. He says, Kenny, if you ever need anything, give me a call. So we drove back over to Greg and Terry's house. Again, the media was there. They had a helicopter flying around above the pool, I remember. I see all these people. Greg and Terry have an in-ground pool. The students who took part in my case, they were there. A lot of attorneys were there. So many people from the press. And Gail's standing next to me. I'm talking to Gail, and I'm looking at these people who are holding these things next to their ear. You know, and I thought they were like Star Trek fans or something. I didn't know what the hell they were doing.
They were hard of hearing.
Yeah, true story. And I, you know, I told Gail, I said, you know, What are these people holding? You know, why are those some kind of tape recorders or something? And she's Kenny, those are cell phones. And I said, what the hell is a cell phone? Because I didn't know what they were, you know. And then Gail started laughing. She said, that's right, Kenny, you probably don't know what a cell phone is. I said, the only cell phone I'm aware of is the pay phone in the prisons where you have to call collect from, okay, for $15 for 15 minutes. So we were walking around, and Kim Schein, who was a reporter at the Free Press, we broke the story to the media. She came up to me and said, Kenny, you know, are you going to the cemetery? Because I wanted to go see my dad, okay? I said, that's right. I said, I don't even know. And she wanted to know. She asked me if I knew what time the cemetery closed, okay? And I said, no. So Kim called Resurrection Cemetery from her cell phone. And they said they closed at 6:30. And this is like 4:45, I think, if I remember right. So anyhow, we get in the caravan. I get in the van with Kim Schein and Proctor and Greg and Terry. And there's like five or six cars going over to Resurrection Cemetery. Pull in the cemetery, and Kim says, where's your dad's grave at? I said, I don't know. We have to go to the office, okay, to find out, you know. It's a true story, Connie. We pull in front of the office, Walk up to the front door, and they got a camera crew from Channel 7 behind me. Walk up to the office door. Door's locked. And then I look on the door. It says office hours 8:30 to 5. The cemetery gates close at 6:30. Oh. The office closed at 5. And I didn't know that. You know, Kim didn't know that either. So I'm standing there. I'm knocking on the door. Hoping that someone is still there. So finally, this guy comes out wearing a white shirt and a tie. And he says, can't you read? The office is closed at 5 o'clock. And I said, look it. I'm going to tell you a story that you probably won't believe. But if you don't believe me, you can watch the news at 6 o'clock, okay? And so I tell him, and, I said, can you tell me where I can find my dad's grave? And he looks at me and he says, I don't think anybody can make up that story. I said, well, I'm not making anything. I'm telling you the truth. So he takes me in, prints out a map, where my dad is buried at. Yep. So as we're walking out the door, out of the office door, guy looks at me, he says, by the way, he says, we don't allow any TV cameras on our property. And I look at him and I said, you got to be kidding me. You know what I'm going through right now? Okay, he said, just forget about it. Just go. So we went, we drove around and found my dad's grave. And I walked up to my dad's grave in front of the A station at Resurrection Cemetery. And I knelt down, and they had just cut the grass, okay? Mm-hmm. And I knelt down, and I brushed the grass off my dad's headstone. And I said, Dad, I made it home. And Kim actually knelt down next to me, Kim Schein from the Free Press. Another true story, Connie. It was a clear blue sky that day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Kim and I are kneeling in front of my dad's grave. I'm saying some prayers, and it feels like it's starting to rain, okay? And I feel this, and I look at Kim, and we kind of looked at each other at the same time. You say, what the hell? What's going on? And we both look up in the sky, not a cloud above us. And I told Kim, I said, Kim, my dad knows I'm home. To me, that was his sign to let me know that I'm home. Yeah. So, amazing journey.
Yeah. So then, when did you see your mom?
I saw my mom. I can't remember if it was the following day. Again, there was a problem with my brothers letting me see my mom, especially for my brother Tommy. God rest his soul now. Tommy was a bad alcoholic, and he got mad when I was calling my dad asking for help. The last time I talked to my brother Tommy, I remember he was at the Macomb County Jail. He said, Kenny, you got yourself into this mess. You get yourself out. I said, Tommy, don't you understand? I haven't done anything. I don't know who this woman is. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he turned around and walked away. That's the last time I ever talked to my brother. So I can't remember right now. It was the following day. I wanted my mom to come over. I talked to a friend of mine who was willing to do it, but he said he was going to call my brother Jimmy, and my friend convinced my brother Jimmy to bring my mom over to Greg and Terry's. So that was it's a day, another day I'll never forget, honey.
Yeah, how was your reunion with your mom?
It was great. It was great. We were actually managed a couple laughs. And then my son was there with, he had two kids. It was the first time I saw my grandchildren.
Oh, nice.
My grandson was, my granddaughter Alexis was 2, and my grandson Adam was born 5 weeks before I was released. It's the first time I got to hold both of them. It was a day to remember, that's for sure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We would like to give you a 20% discount for ordering the book, Deliberate Injustice, The Wrongful Conviction of Ken Wynemco, at www.deliberateinjusticethebook.com.
Use code POD20. Order today to learn more about wrongful convictions and how this can happen to anyone. Again, your discount code is POD20.